This is part one of goal-oriented training with Shayna Lay.
You're listening to the Andre Segovia Show.
Greetings, everyone. I am your host, Andre Segovia. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Andre Segovia Show. Today, I'm putting real estate to the side just a little bit so I can talk to you about getting your mind set correctly, particularly because I know it's the beginning of the year and you're looking to get ready with your goals. But the unfortunate part about this year is that New Year's Day landed on a Friday. And for those of you that were looking to better your health, especially after the 2020, and for those of you that are still in lockdown, you're still kind of going through that, but like, no, I'm not gonna let that get the better of me. I'm gonna do something great. I will do the best for my health and myself. But it landed on a Friday, so a lot of people started pushing it off till Monday, and well, now we're towards the end of the first week of 2021. So where are you on those goals? Not to try to put anyone down. I'm just trying to say it doesn't matter whether you're starting January 1st or January 10th or August 1st. The point is to have a beginning, because there aren't any excuses, and it all starts with you. Last year, I sat down with my friend and personal trainer, Shayna Lay. Her and I trained some time ago, and that was when I was transitioning from my weight loss training to my strength training. Well, fitness training, because I'd never done anything like that. I wanted to gain muscle. That was an interview I recorded and published February 2020. And since then, she has gone on to have an impact on other people in my life, including my wife and also my sister. And that has been something really awesome to experience, in that she continues not just being a friend, but also motivating and encouraging others. She's just a great overall person. And in this part one of two of the interview, we sit down to get to know, or to reconnect after a while, and also to find out where things are. But stay tuned to the conclusion of this interview so you can find out the latest program that Shayna is doing and how she can help you get in the best shape of your life. Here's part one of that interview.
I moved to California almost 4 years ago now. So it was July of 2016 from Dallas. And I had lived in Dallas for about 9 years. Before that, I grew up in Kansas.
Oh, okay. You weren't a Texas girl.
Yeah, no, I didn't grow up in Texas, but I lived there for 9 years before moving to LA. Stayed in LA with my brother for a couple of months and then made it down to Orange County. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely a Cali girl. I'm definitely a Cali girl.
You're not leaving, I know. Yeah. I remember the first time I drove to Kansas, because I was in a road trip with the family. That was late teenagers. I remember something by a gas station. I think it was outside Topeka. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know.
Topeka, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing a gas station. They had a shirt, and it was like a comic strip. It's like, I drove for an hour. I saw grass. Then I saw sheep. I saw a telephone pole. More grass, sheep, telephone pole. Next time I'm flying.
Yeah, right.
No wonder they call it a flyover state. No, but yeah, it wasn't as exciting as I thought it would be.
It's the heart of America, totally flat.
Yeah, so that's the Great Plains for you. But you, you weren't born a trainer.
It feels like it, though.
It does. Okay.
But no, I wasn't. I had to learn some things.
So exactly. So how did you exactly come about to, I'm assuming you had eating habits, like you can relate to us mortals, that you had eating habits that weren't exactly healthy, I'm assuming. Or what made you change from whatever you were doing to, fitness?
Yeah, you know, mine wasn't really like a transformation per se. You know, I had when I was 21 or 22, I had a girlfriend that I was hanging out with at the time. We met just out, like at the club, you know, because when you're young, 20-something, you're just out. And yeah, we met and hit it off and like started hanging out all the time. And she hired a personal trainer. And she was like, yeah, I want to do a fitness competition, this and that. And I was like, yeah, whatever, good luck with that, you know. And uh-huh. so... So she started weight training and working with this trainer. And then after like 3 months, her body like totally changed, like completely.
3 months.
Complete transformation. I mean, this is like hardcore, like focused, no drinking alcohol. Like 3 months, her body totally changed. She started doing competitions. And then 3 months after that, her body like totally changed again. And it just like kept getting better. And like every 3 months, I was just like, oh my gosh. So it was like by like the ninth month or something that I was like, well, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I just want to like look like that. I'm not trying to compete or anything, but naturally competitive. So as I started, you know, and then I got a trainer, started working, you know, working out, getting trained. And then my other friends were like, well, what are you doing in the gym? You got to show me. Oh my gosh, like your legs and that. And I'm like, they're like, oh, teach me. And I'm like, nah, like, I don't really feel like it, you know, whatever, like, or I'd take them to the gym with me one time and they would be like, oh, I'm so sore. Yeah. They don't, yeah. They're lazy. Like, I don't want to do that so much. So then I stopped letting them come with me, to the gym and yeah, it's driving me crazy. So, and then people started telling me like, oh, you should be a trainer, you know, and make money doing it, you know? And I was like, no, I mean, I help my friends out here and there. Like I'll bring them to the gym and we can work out or something. But I don't really think I would enjoy teaching people because all my friends that have come with me to the gym, they show up there like begging me to come to the gym. Let me come with you. Let me come with you. And I show them what my trainer taught me. And then they just complain and they're lazy and they do it like once or twice. And I just got irritated by it because I was so focused and dedicated myself that I was like irritated by my friend's laziness in the gym. So I was like, no, I would never want to, you know, coach people. And at the time I was like working as a cocktail waitress and in retail.
Mm.
And then finally, after a couple years, you know, I started doing competitions and stuff. And then finally after...
And this was in Texas?
This was in Texas, yes. Mm. And so after like a year or two, it was maybe like a year and a half of competing and getting in like the best shape of my life. You know, I had so many people like asking me questions and so I was like, you know what? I think I do want to like be a personal trainer. So I went and got certified and then started making money doing it, you know, and I was like, oh, this is fun. I get to like live in my yoga pants. I don't have to dress up anymore and go to the office. You know, it was awesome. And it just kind of went from there, you know, and it, you know, I know for some people it was like a transformation, but my transformation actually came way later. Kind of, a weird thing, you know, growing up in sports, my whole family were always in sports, so we never really had like weight issues as young people, but I got into the competition world and I had hired another coach to help me with nutrition and dieting, and I'd already been a trainer for a couple years at this point, and you know, like just being coached to diet incorrectly, like very low carb and very low calorie for a very long period of time. I was competing for like 2 years and never really took any time off. And it's very hard on your body. Like the bodybuilding shows, the diet is so strict and it really doesn't have to be. This is just like people who don't know what the hell they're doing coaching people who don't know what the hell they're doing, right? So, but you get results, you know, when you first start cutting carbs and calories, you get results right away. And after a while, you know, it just slowly breaks down your metabolism. It doesn't work properly anymore. So you just have to keep going lower and lower if you're trying to stay lean.
Yeah.
And you really just can't do that. It's not sustainable, you know? So my transformation came when I finally, some things in my life, my personal life changed, and I couldn't have like the competition as a goal, right? So that was not on the horizon to help keep me in quote unquote check, right?
Mm-hmm.
With my diet.
Yeah.
And at this point I had been on such a hard competition diet, so strict. I mean, literally like 5 foods on the list. It was like chicken, broccoli, almonds, sweet potatoes, and pre-workout basically is all I ever ate.
Yeah.
And so going from that rigid dieting to, oh, now I don't have a competition coming up and I'm not with my trainer right now and I have all this stress going on in my life because of my personal issues, and I just fell off the wagon hard. I mean, I don't think I had had like a carb, like a pancake or a real brownie. I had protein brownies, you know, those disgusting things.
Yes.
I didn't even have cheat meals for like almost 2 years, and which is like just psychologically wrong. Like, don't do it. It's very like, it sounds weird to say, but like my psychological relationship with food was like very bad because I had demonized all these foods, like, oh, this is bad for you, don't eat it. And it was like, I could only eat this short list of clean foods, you know? Yeah. So anyway, I didn't have the competition on the horizon, and it was kind of like, I had no discipline. I was only disciplined from an external date of doing a show or like, you know, my coach was making me, or, you know, it was very external. And so there was no internal, like, I'm doing it for me. I was doing it for these other reasons. And, you know, it was such a weird thing. But anyway, I fell off the clean eating wagon really hard, and I started eating, I remember it was IHOP pancakes. Oh. And it was like literally like crack. I mean, I was like, I'd like eat it, and I've never done crack, but I would assume that it would be like that, because it was literally, it felt like the first time I went, I ordered like a stack of pancakes. I ordered like a couple orders, and this is how bad it got. But within that first month of being free from competition dieting, and I had no accountability coach or anything like that, I was just kind of like, you know, and I'm going to eat all the things I haven't eaten in the last 2 years that I've been wanting deep down, you know, but like suppressing that. And it was IHOP pancakes was like the thing. So I would call in an order to go. I would go drive, pick it up, get in my car, eat it on the way home before I would even get home, like literally like 10 pancakes.
Yikes.
And that I would do that for lunch, and then later in the day I would call it in again, and I would do that for dinner. I would go again, and I did this, and within that first month I put on 40 pounds in a month.
Which is 40? No, okay.
Yeah, well, but I mean, it was very rapid weight gain.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I did this maybe 2-3 times a day, and for that first month I put on 40 pounds, and after that it was like I could not stop eating sugar and things. Like, it was all the things that I ever wanted to eat. I physically could not stop myself. I remember like making a trip to IHOP to do my usual pancake run. And within a couple months, I had outgrown, well, within the first month, I had outgrown even my sweatpants. And I couldn't fit into any clothes, like any of my nice clothes, hardly fit into my gym clothes. Thank goodness they were stretchy, you know. But
yeah.
Looking back now, I kind of laugh. But at the time, you know, I had never dealt with in my life like ever being overweight, you know, at that point. You know, I'd been a trainer. I'd been competing for years. And I was always kind of like the friend that was like the fitness person, the healthy friend, you know, that people would come to for advice. And here I am like a trainer, and I'm, you know, I think at my heaviest I got up to 165, but and I usually walk around about 135, 140, you know. And so that was pretty heavy for me, you know.
Yeah.
And I had never experienced that before, and I remember one of the days I went to IHOP and did my usual pancake run, and I'm driving in the car and I'm literally crying. I'm so upset because why can't I stop doing this? Like, I'm overweight. I'm not even hungry. It's just, it was like this need to eat these pancakes, because I kept telling myself, I'm going to start my diet tomorrow. And psychologically, I knew how strict and rigid that diet was, but that was all I knew to get lean, right? That was all I had been coached or taught or had done in the past to get lean. And so I was like, I won't worry about the pancakes I'm eating today, because I'm going to start tomorrow. And I would wake up and I would try to be really strict and rigid again. And I just could not, because I had gotten a taste of that sugar or that whatever that I had just like hardcore, like got on the healthy bandwagon or whatever you want to call it. So it was like just opening a floodgate, and I just couldn't quit eating. And it was really upsetting. And I finally realized, you know, like I had never been mean to my clients before, but there was a part of me that couldn't understand, you know, when I would get a client that would come to me and, you know, they're struggling, and there was a part of me that just couldn't quite understand, because I'd never been there before. You know, I always tried to be very compassionate and as understanding as I could, but having not experienced that before, there was still a missing piece, you know. And I was always kind, you know, but looking back, I think it was one of the best times in my life, or one of the best, not times in my life, but one of the best things for me to go through in my life that helped me to really understand what that felt like, to not fit in my clothes or to not be able to stop eating or to feel really guilty and sad about eating and exercise and all of that, you know, and and that went on for a couple of years, and I had to basically re-educate myself on how to eat properly, because no one coached me on how to eat when I wasn't in competition. I only knew like very restrictive eating or eat everything. There was no like, how do you live normal life in between? And not saying it was my coach's fault, but it was just, you know, being young, inexperienced, and well, I got results like getting lean this one way, why isn't it working? And so for a couple of years, it went, I had this kind of battle with food and couldn't fit into clothes, and I would lose weight, gain weight, and but I finally had to, it forced me to educate myself on nutrition, proper nutrition, and not getting on any kind of extreme diet plan, you know, as far as like overly restrictive eating. It caused me to learn how to train differently, not just train like a bodybuilder, like just weight training and steady state cardio, but how to train like an athlete.
Yeah.
To be able to burn off the energy, to be able to eat a higher calorie intake and stay in shape, you know, or, but I was in a place where I was overweight and I had to be okay with being overweight while I learned and while I trained, because basically I had to retrain my metabolism to work for me again, because I had shut it down by being so low calorie and low carbohydrate for so long. And, you know, and then on top of all that, being a woman, hormonal and that fluctuation, you know, it's harder for women, you know, because we have the hormone fluctuations, and hormones have a lot to do with weight loss, you know, as you know. And, you know, even for some men, that the hormone thing can be an issue for weight loss. So it was like, oh gosh, like I had to learn so many things. And I look back now and I say that that was probably one of the best things I could have ever went through, because for the number one thing, it helped me to be even more compassionate toward people.
Yeah.
Like I said, I wasn't like mean, but sometimes I would just think like, why can't they just do it? You know, like I'm laying out the plan here. Why can't they just do it?
Yeah.
And it was just that part. Maybe I never said that to them, you know, but I was thinking it. Yeah. And I really deep down, I really wanted to help people. And so, you know, it caused me to be a better trainer. It caused me to be much more compassionate on such a deeper level. And, you know, now I have a transformation story. Now I'm not just like, oh, you've been in shape your whole life type of person. Of course it's easy for you, you know,
not like just genetics.
Yeah. And so, you know, my transformation is a little bit different, but it definitely was not only external transformation, but internal also. And it just caused me to like step up to the plate and just, I had to like accept, okay, well, I wrecked my metabolism. I studied, I learned, I figured out what I did and how long it was going to take. And it literally took two more years to get my metabolism back on track. And so it was like a period of about 4 or 5 years there that was just really, really hard. But also one of the best learning curves that I could have experienced as like a fitness professional. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing. When I was going through that 2 years of struggling with my weight and the food and all of that, like I was really embarrassed professionally. You know, because I'm like, I'm supposed to be a trainer and here I am. I used to be in shape and now I'm out of shape. And how am I going to explain that to people, or how am I going to get new clients? I felt like a fraud. You know, I felt like no one's going to believe me, you know, no one's going to hire me to teach them, you know, and, you know, it just caused me to step up to the plate and just be better. And
no, that was, you could say your motivation.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like either stay where I'm at and unhappy, or learn, figure it out. And once I did figure it out and realize the time that it was going to take, this is the harder part too about like the fitness thing, you know, that a lot of people are like, oh, I get a lot of clients asking, well, how long is it going to take for me to get in shape?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, first of all, what does that look like for you? Because everybody has like a picture of what in shape is for them. You know, not everybody cares about having, you know, washboard abs or wants to look like a bodybuilder, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, some people do. So it's kind of like, when people ask me, like, well, how long is it going to take? I'm like, well, as long as it takes, you know, like, and that is the answer, you know. And for me, when I sat down, I was like, man, you know, I'm, you know, 30 pounds overweight. I cannot lose the weight. I couldn't cut a calorie and lose weight to save my life. My body would not respond to cardio, would not respond to cutting calories, nothing. So I had to just like, okay. And I did all the research on metabolism and all this stuff. And all the studies, all the research I did, all of the podcasts, all of the scientists and doctors, it was going to take me 2 years if I did it right. That's not even counting falling off the wagon, right? And getting back on. That's like, if I stayed on track, it was going to take me 2 years to get the weight off and get my metabolism back in a place where it was going to work for me and not against me. And you talk about like, oh man, like that's a hard, like, 2 years, like I don't want to do it for 2 years. Well, 2 years is going to pass regardless, so you can either do it or not do it.
Yeah.
And in 2 years, you'll be the same. And I was like, here I am, like, faced with the exact thing that I potentially talk to clients about. Mm. And I'm sitting here like, I don't want to do this. And I was like, well, I guess I have to.
But what made you want to finally just do it? Like when you saw that monumental challenge in front of you, like, what is it? Oh, let's do it.
I didn't like how I felt. Mm. Basically, to sum it up, I was like, I don't sleep well. I don't feel good. I don't have energy. I'm sick of my own shit. Mm. You know, and it's like, well, you did this to yourself. I couldn't blame other coaches or whatever. I hired them. You know, I paid them to teach me the wrong thing, you know, instead of trying to maybe in the beginning learn and do some research on my own or whatever. I just relied on somebody else fully, like without even attempting to learn anything. You know, you told me you've done like a ton of research and you're so into it. Like in the beginning, when I was like, oh, I want to do fitness competitions, I just like paid somebody and trusted them. Didn't even do research on that person, you know. I just knew that they trained my friend and da 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 da. And, you know, but I learned, you know, obviously over time that, man, you got to learn a little bit for yourself, and what you can't teach yourself, then you hire the expert, right?
Yeah.
And I know not everybody is that way. And I know there's all different kinds of coaches out there. And I'm not saying anything wrong with like trusting someone fully, because I know who I am and I know that someone could just trust me fully. Mm-hmm. But I still even challenge my clients when they hire me. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm telling you this stuff, but research on your own. You know, when they come to me and they're like, hey, I want to do keto, what's your opinion? I tell them my opinion. And then I tell them, do research on it though. Like, I did research on it and this is why I have this opinion. Now, if you're asking me about keto and you're curious to do it, go research it more. But if you're just going to take my word for it, it may not be what you need or want, right? Yeah. So you've got to like do your own research. And so I still even encourage my clients to challenge me, you know, like challenge me what I say and go look it up for yourself or try, you know, to like learn. Because I can tell you what to do all day long with nutrition, but really, in the long run, you really learn from your own mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, like you really do. Like we try to take in information as much as possible, but we really learn from our own mistakes too.
Yeah, because it could also be information overload. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, that didn't work. Trial and error. What does?
Exactly. And
that's how it was for me. I wanted to do my weight loss journey 2 years prior to what I ended up doing, and I didn't do that because I don't have the support from my wife, because she didn't believe in it. So then 2 years later, I said, look, I'm desperate. I got to try something. Something's got to give. So I went with this program because I knew somebody that was on it too. But based on my own research, I also knew it's not about like a fad. Like, just take Atkins, for example. I have so much fun throwing shade at Atkins because I just hate it. It's like the stupidest thing. But some people say they have benefits from it. It's like, yeah, it does more harm than good depending on what you're getting at. But where I was going, what I wanted to get to, was not like something I want to transition out of, in that, all right, now I can start eating these things again and incorporate into myself and maybe throw my body out of whack. I wanted to change my habits in my eating for something balanced. So the program that I was on was I could enjoy everything that I was enjoying just in way, way less. And when I started eating just so many more greens than I ever had before.
You said greens?
I had greens.
Yeah.
Okay, one thing changed. I loved eating vegetables after that. One thing that didn't change, I still hate cauliflower. That never changed.
I hate cauliflower too.
It's broccoli.
And now cauliflower can be anything. Somehow they turn it into like the ideal husband. It's pizza crust. It's rice.
Yes.
It's what the hell? It's pasta. I'm like, is not a husband. You better put that cauliflower in its place.
It's broccoli sickly cousin. That's the way I look at it. No. That's the one thing that never changed. Only one meal company I'm going to give a shout out to them, On Season Meals. They, chef, he likes using cauliflower. And I'm like, dude, stop killing me here, man. It's like, ugh. That's what sometimes I'm like, I need to get another meal because there's not enough for me to eat here. The rest
is
cauliflower.
Even the cauliflower rice is gross.
Yeah. But this one time, I don't know if he roasted it or something. He just went to that cauliflower. I'm like, dude, there's flavor.
He's determined to get you to eat it.
It's like, this is how I'll eat the cauliflower. It's like, boom. That was the only time.
Deep fried and covered in like buffalo sauce or something. Like.
Oh, man, yeah. But yeah, it's... I admire what I've seen from you in the past 2 years. You're like, yay, she's just like me. But then hearing... you tell a story of literally where you come from, it makes me relate all the more. Because we all have challenges, and that's kind of the point where I wanted to sit down. It's like, we all have challenges. Mm-hmm. How do you as a trainer stay motivated? And you had your own journey. Mm-hmm. And that was, I'm calling it phase one. That's what I know of you. But phase two was, there's a difference between exercising and training. Exercising, it's like eating. You do it because your body's used to do it. Training, on the other hand, now you're pushing your body beyond just, okay, I got to do it because I got to do it. I got to put in my calorie burn for the day versus I'm getting at something, which is training. So maintaining versus getting somewhere, right? You were training for, what was it, MMA?
Mm-hmm.
Or jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
Or both?
Well, I train jiu-jitsu, so MMA is mixed martial arts, so it's a culmination of different martial arts, a lot of different ones, but yeah, I did an MMA fight in October last year.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah.
No, I thought that was around like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was October 20th was the date.
Oh yeah. My goodness. Dude, I literally thought like last month, I'm like, oh, it's like, wow. And as your first, it was your first time. So as your first experience, mm-hmm. Can we talk about that?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't do that in the pre-interview, but what was that like for you to finally get to do something that you've been training for? Like you're training for that goal.
Man. So it was awesome. Let's say that. Like it was awesome. It was such a great experience. Scary, you know, scary but exciting. You know, I was scared. So just kind of a little backstory on that. Like I had started training jiu-jitsu in Dallas. When I moved to California, part of moving to Orange County was that there were coaches here, these really high level MMA gyms that I wanted to train with. And I was like, you know, if I'm going to do it, I want to train with the best coaches because I don't want to get hurt. Right. I want to train with like elite coaches who coach, you know, like guys in the UFC or women in the UFC. I want to train with those coaches because they know what the hell they're doing. And this isn't a game. Like you're getting in a cage to fight somebody who wants to almost kill you, you know,
yeah.
Like just short of killing you, that's what they want to do to you. So
yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, you know, I'm going to go and like do this, like, you know, like 5K or something. This is like serious, right? So it was like, not only did I need to like be athletic and fast and like endurance and all of those things, but I had to be vicious and smart and have like a fight IQ, which means move your head out of the way when you see a punch coming, you know, like, and don't just
with my
face. Stand there and take it. Yeah. And you know, so preparing for that, you know, I had made a goal the October before, the 1 year before, because I'd kind of been like, I'm gonna fight, I don't know when, but I want to. And I had been training jiu-jitsu for a couple years already, you know, and then I had started training Muay Thai, which is, you know, punches and kicks, for maybe about a year, And so it was October of 2018. I said, okay, 1 year from now, because, you know, I'm very goal oriented, yes. date oriented. So I like to set a date for a goal, then work toward that. Because when you set a date for it, it gives an end date to your hard work, right? And and instead of just like, oh, I'll just wait till I'm ready, it's forcing you to prepare to get ready for that date, right? So it kind of, there's a deadline. I'm like, well, okay, I got a year. And so I was training for a year, and then about 3 months, I knew that I wanted to train to fight in October. Like that was just like the date that I had set. And so I was training for about a year. And then 2019 rolls around, and it was like July of 2019. I'm like, okay, I'm 3 months out. Like that's about the length of focused training that professional fighters will take to really hone in their skills and prepare even harder for the actual fight. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, it's July 1st, let's go. So July, August, and September, so I had about 3 months and 20 days before the fight. I was like, it's time to step it up, gotta start training harder. And just digress a second here. when I took my first Muay Thai class, and we were doing some punching drills or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew that training for MMA was gonna be really hard.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put myself through like just the hardest thing possible, because I figured if I can do an MMA fight, I can do freaking anything in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Because for one, it's scary. You know, you're going in, you know you're gonna get punched, kicked. I mean, the worst of the worst could happen. You could break bones, break your face, get seriously injured, or you could maybe even die. I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
It's not super common, but it's happened, and it's definitely a possibility. And I just wanted to do something really hard. And you know, the first time I ever did Muay Thai, and we had to do like, they're like, okay, we're gonna do 3 minute rounds, and you're gonna punch, and you're gonna do this combination. And like, I remember the timer went, and I was like, it was like 20 seconds in. I couldn't even hold my arms up anymore. I was like, oh my gosh, how do people do this for 5 minutes? I was like, I was punching, and then I was like, okay, I'm out of gas. And I literally could not hold my arms up, like in fight stance, you know, anymore. And I was like, I got a long ways to go. Yeah. That's and crazy. I just remember laughing because I'd already kind of considered myself like a fairly tough athlete. You know, I've been training jiu-jitsu, weight training, been into fitness for so many years, and thought I was in decent shape, but I had a whole new respect for fighters in that moment, because I was like, man, you got to be like in the best shape of your life and then also have this crazy endurance, like not stop, you know, because in like weight training, you do like 15 reps, you stop, rest, let your heart rate go back down. Yeah. This is like, you have to have strength, power, and endurance all in one. And I was like, man, I got a long ways to go. So fast forward to July 1st of 2019, a few months before my fight, step it up, start training harder. And I mean, I was scared because I was like, oh my gosh, it's in only 3 months and 20 days or 3 months, because I didn't have a date yet, but I knew it was gonna be October. And I was like, I got 3 months before the fight. I've been telling everybody, and I knew if I told people, right, the accountability, like you have to do it, because otherwise you're just like weak, you know, like you're a wannabe fighter. So I knew if I started telling people that I would follow through, right? Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want that like social of, or what do you call it? Like when people are like, yeah, you said you were gonna do it, but then you didn't, you wussed out, you know? And so my ego wouldn't let me like
not. Yeah, they'll troll you for sure.
So I was telling people so that I would for sure follow through, because I was scared, you know, of course. I mean, who isn't scared? If anyone tells you they're not scared to go fight in MMA, they're freaking lying. Mm. Like everyone is scared, some more than others probably, or less than others, but it's scary, you know? And so I was like, man, I gotta tell people to make it real. So I'm like, okay, 3 months out, I got a boxing coach to really like fine tune the boxing skills. And I was working with my Muay Thai coach to help with, you know, the Muay Thai, the punches, kicks, and all of that. And then jiu-jitsu, of course. And then I had a wrestling coach, an MMA coach, and like all these coaches to help me learn all this stuff. I mean, it was so much.
That's kind of what I did too, yeah.
Yeah.
Not like that. Yeah.
But it was like, you know, you just have this team of people helping you just refine all the details. And I was scared the 3 months before, especially because I'm like, it's only 3 months away. I'm scared, like this is... I'm gonna, you know, I just kept imagining, I was like, you're gonna fight the scariest, most ruthless woman. So you need to train as if you're the scariest, most ruthless woman. And I was like, okay, because if my opponent is that freaking mean, I've gotta be 10 times meaner than her to survive it, you know? And that was just like my mentality. I was like, I gotta be mean and savage and like, rah, but controlled, you know, not emotional, like not angry and full of rage, but... Mm-hmm. But like calculated, what was a good word? Calculated, I don't know, I'll have to come up with a better, but just calculated and vicious, you know? And, you know, I was a person who, with my training partners, I'd like hit him in the face and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, okay? Like, and they're like, stop saying sorry. Like my one friend, Kara, she finally was like, saying sorry, we're fighters for God's sakes.
Like, so what do you think we're here for?
I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to hurt you. You're my friend. She's like, you're not gonna hurt me. So, but yeah, I mean, I was scared all the way up to my fight until the day of weigh-ins when I went and we had like the face-off. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, I was not scared anymore. We did the weigh-in and the face-off where, you know, we stand in like intimidation eyes at each other.
Yeah.
And you know, I just remember looking at her, the girl, and she looked scared. Mm-hmm. And so I smiled. And I said, I just kind of whispered, you know, because there's like cameras, everyone's taking pictures and we're standing there, like just like this to each other. And and she was like, she kind of like, I could tell in her eyes, like she was like, kind of, she was scared. Mm-hmm. And so I smiled. And in that moment, I just wasn't scared anymore. Mm-hmm. I was excited. And I was ready to go. And even like the walk out, like going out into the cage and like my heart's beating, even like thinking about it, like walking out into the cage, like everything just felt so natural. Like I just felt like I was right where I was supposed to be, you know? And that was the moment that I was preparing for. So I felt so confident. And it wasn't that I was like, oh, I'm such a bad, nothing like that. It was like I knew that I had been putting in the work every day for 4 months before that, for years before that, but really hardcore for the 3-4 months before. And it was just confidence that I had, and I was excited to do it.
And that's where we'll have to leave it. So how can Shayna help you transform yourself into the best you ever been? Well, she's currently offering the Fit 90 Full Body Transformation Course. The Fit 90 course is a customized 90-day full body transformation program that will take you from where you are today to your ultimate goal. I know this sounds like a lot of gotcha stuff, but it's really true. It is a results-driven program that fits your lifestyle, personality, personal preferences, and it is science-based. So if you want to feel happier and healthier while working towards your dream body, if you want to get amazing results with quick, effective training methods, if you want the freedom to eat the food you like while still losing fat and gaining lean muscle, if you want more energy, more confidence, and if you want to work with a seasoned professional who will be the coach that you need and you want real, lasting results, Shayna's your coach. So shaynalayfitness.com is where you can go learn more about her and her program and how you are able to get started on your Fit 90 Day program. And as for myself, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the program. You can tune in to all of the content that I do at www.theandresagova.com. Check out the show notes accompanying this episode where I'll leave links to Shayna's information also. And for real estate resources, go to www.segoviares.com so you can find out more about that. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of The Andres Segovia Show. I will see you on the next one.